The Dawn on iRadio. Well, a very good morning to you and welcome to another edition of the Dawn program here on iRadio, your eye on South Sudan. Today is Friday, the 15th of May, 2020. My name is Emmanuel Joseph Akile. Let's talk about mental health during crises such as the novel coronavirus times. Well, fear, worry and stress are normal responses to perceived or real threats, and at times when we are faced with uncertainty or the unknown. So it is normal and understandable that people are experiencing fear in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic. Added to that, fear of contracting the virus is a pandemic such as COVID-19 are the significant changes to our daily lives as our movements are restricted in support of efforts to contain and slow down the spread of the coronavirus. Faced with new realities of working from home, temporary unemployment, homeschooling of children, and lack of physical contact with other family members, friends, and colleagues, it is important that we look after our mental as well as our physical health. For instance, the World Health Organization, or WHO, together with partners, is providing guidance actually and advice during the COVID-19 pandemic for health workers, managers of health facilities, people who are looking after children, older adults, people in isolation, and members of the public more generally, to help us look after our mental health. Fortunately, there are lots of things that we can do to look after our own mental health and also to help others who may need some extra support and care. You have to get up and go to bed at similar times every day. Keep up with personal hygiene. Eat healthy meals at regular times. Exercise regularly. Allocate time for walking and time for resting. And then make time for doing things you enjoy. Well, to shed more light on this topic, I spoke with Heidi Rieder, who is the Mental Health and Psychosocial Support Project Manager for the International Agency for Migration in South Sudan, or IOM. She explained to me about mental health and why is it important in our society in general, and how during COVID-19 times in specific. Heidi also said mental health is a state of well-being and means that someone is in a position to deal with normal daily stressors and also work productively and can contribute to the family and community as well. She also talked about psychosocial stress, which can be produced by aspects such as hard living conditions, forced displacement, or lack of social support from friends, families, and the community, adding that during COVID-19 outbreak, the level of stress might be higher in the general population due to fear of becoming infected by the disease, due to the worry of whether there will be sufficient healthcare or whether one is not being able to protect one's family. Well, let's hear more from Heidi explaining about mental health. I caught up with her in this interview yesterday.
When we talk about mental health, we talk about a state of well-being and mean that someone is in a position to deal with normal daily stresses, that make use of his or her potential and contribute to the family and community. And pandemic like COVID-19 is a threat not only to physical but also to mental health and psychosocial well-being. And we can see this in South Sudan. People are worried about falling sick. They're worried whether there will be access to healthcare and medication, whether they will be able to protect their families, or other topics like whether they will lose their job due to restrictions, because there has been many changes in South Sudan over the last weeks and months, like travel restrictions. People couldn't go to see their family members anymore. Schools were closed, businesses were closed. So people were asking themselves, how will I be able to provide for my family? Also the question about physical distancing. We have lots of displaced persons in the country, 1.5 million. So they are asking themselves, how can we keep physical distance in the environment where we live? So all those elements add to existing stress. So there's a perceived threat to coronavirus, and then those socioeconomic changes in life that play an important role on how we feel and think. And this can create anxiety and frustration. And if it persists over a long time, people might become hopeless or start even taking alcohol or drugs to handle it and to forget about those unpleasant feelings. So those are aspects we have to consider when talk about mental health and COVID-19.
Right. So, Heidi, when we talk about mental health during this COVID-19 and seeking services for it, for instance, people normally feel it is a taboo and a luxury for some privileged society. So how can we make people understand that mental health affects everyone and that it is important for everyone, regardless of race, religion, where you grew up, or even economic status?
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of taboo and lack of understanding around mental health problems in many societies, not only in South Sudan. But I think it's important to understand and make other people understand that being stressed and feeling sad or overwhelmed or helpless, normal reactions to a situation like COVID-19, which comes with a lot of uncertainty and lack of knowledge, as I said, we cannot control this situation, and this can make us feeling anxious. So those feelings are present in all human beings. So anyone, no matter which status, religion or ethnic group or age group, might be affected by those negative feelings. And that's why it's important to make people understand that mental health is as important for us as physical health, and also is important to all of us, regardless of where we come from or who we are.
So, Heidi, now how do we then overcome the stigma and discrimination related to mental health in general? And can you even tell us how can we really protect people who are COVID-19 affected from additional stress due to stigma in the society?
There has been made a lot of effort to share the right information about mental health problems related to COVID-19 and to, as I said, normalize that mental health problems can be part of a reaction, because we go through a lot of stresses during those times. So this, as I said, needs to be shared among the population and also the communities. There are lots of rumors going on at the moment where the virus comes from and how it is transmitted. And it's important that we make sure not to blame anyone affected by the virus, and to make sure that we share the right information, so trustful information, and not what we read on social media necessarily. So we want to protect and support people who might be affected by COVID-19 and also their families, and offer them our support, because it's dangerous if we don't do so, because people might hide their infection and then and not go and get support where it's needed. So I think it's very important that we don't mistrust each other, but give the right practical and emotional support to people affected, as well to their families.
What is your advice? What can I do as a person to support my mental well-being?
Yeah, first of all, you can monitor yourself. You can try to understand, okay, what are the effects of stress at different levels? So thinking about my physical health, how do I know that I'm stressed or distressed? What does my body tell me? Maybe I'm very tired or very tense. I develop stomach problems. The way we think is affected by stress. So maybe we ruminate a lot or are constantly worried. And this also has an effect on our feelings. It creates even more anxiety or sadness. Stress has also an effect on our behavior. So maybe we become less active, or we withdraw from others, and also on our interpersonal relationships. So like South Sudan, giving an example, people are used to greet each other shaking their hands. There are lots of customs they are not allowed to use anymore. And this changes relationships and the perception of relationships. And also, like, when we look into the families there, we know that there's a risk of a rise in domestic violence due to stress experienced at the individual level or at family level. And all those things are triggered by an elevated level of stress. And we need to understand those effects on ourselves personally, but also on our environment, and look into coping mechanisms. Those are the strategies we use to deal with stress and to look into helpful coping mechanisms. So trying to remember again, okay, it's normal to be stressed during those times and we have to accept it. But we should try to talk about it, talk to people we trust, and keep in touch with our friends and family. We should also keep healthy routine, like enough sleep is important, enough rest. Trying to be active, even, for example, if we are in quarantine or cannot go out. Food is an important topic. We need to make sure that we don't refer to alcohol and drugs as a mechanism of handling stress. So those are the things we can do at daily level, and also thinking about, okay, what has helped me earlier? How have I managed in the past to overcome difficult moments? We call this resilience. There's an ability in us human beings to handle stress and to bounce back from negative life experiences. So we should try to connect to those elements, and also the community can help us a lot to support ourselves individually, but also to go through this crisis together. And I think if it's too overwhelming, if those signs of stress don't go away, I think it's important to find some professional help, looking into getting in touch with a health worker or a counselor, and trying to have a plan what to do if things get worse, and to see, okay, where can I get the support I need for my physical and my mental health.
Right, and that was Heidi Reeder, the Mental Health and Psychosocial Support Project Manager for the International Agency for Migration in South Sudan, explaining to me more about mental health and its importance in the society in general, and especially during the COVID-19 time right now. Di kanat hinaka al-Sayyida Heidi Reeder wa hiya mudira bita mashrua dam al-nafsi wa saha al-nafsiya fi منظمة الحجرة الدولية في جنوب السودان، وكانت بتتكلم معي عبر التليفون في جوبا امبارح، وبتتكلم عن موضوع بتاع الصحة النفسية او العقلية، وده طبعا بيجي في زمن بتاع مرض الكورونا فيروس او المرض بتاع الفيروس التاجي. I radio your eye on South Sudan. This is the Dawn Show on I radio. Wake up. Get information. Get education. Get everything that you need on iRadio. Yes, a very good morning to you once again. It's now 30 minutes after the hour of 8. You're still listening to the Dawn program here on iRadio with me, Emmanuel Joseph Akile. We're talking about mental health during the COVID-19 pandemic. And a while ago, we heard from the Mental Health and Psychosocial Support Project Manager for the International Agency for Migration in South Sudan, known as IOM, that is Heidi Reeder, explaining to us the importance of mental health in our society in general, especially during the COVID-19 time. She said mental health is actually a state of well-being, and that means that someone is in a position to deal with normal daily stressors, work productively, and also can contribute to the family and community. Another question we ask today is, how can communities support each other in COVID-19 times to ensure that we remain together, and that those who require more support are not forgotten? Well, this question is being answered by Sophia Casas, the Technical Advisor for Humanity, Inclusion and Non-Governmental Organizations. She emphasized on the public health measures that need to be applied at all times, that is physical distancing, hand washing practices, and use of appropriate personal protective equipment or PPE as needed. Now, according to Sophia, it is important to engage with community leaders, religious leaders, and trusted persons in sharing the same messages and in also discouraging stigmatization. She explained more in the following interview.
The most important thing that we can really be doing right now to support each other is to make sure that we're following public health measures that have been set out, right? So these are things that we want to be applying at all times as a way of supporting each other. This includes physical distancing, hand washing frequently. We want to be making sure that we're using masks when appropriate. So these are things that we can do that not just take care of ourselves, but they also, first and foremost, take care of also the community around us. right? So that's the first thing that we can really be doing to be showing support to our community. The other thing is that we want to be really working together as one community, right? So this is the time when things like this happen, this is the time we really want to step up and be providing support to each other, have solidarity, and remember that we're stronger together through this. This is the time to be showing support. This is the time to be checking in on your neighbors using the phone. If you are able to contact people by phone, that's the best method right now. And we also want to be noticing who in my community needs maybe some extra support right now, some extra assistance. And how can I communicate or ensure that they get that support?
Yeah, so how do we really help children and young people in South Sudan cope with staying at home and then the stress during these COVID-19 times?
This is a really confusing time for children, right? They might find it really difficult to understand what's happening. And the thing is, it's important to know that children can often, they can sense when their caregivers or adults in their community are feeling anxious or worried. And so right now, the most important thing is don't lie to children to reassure them. It's often adults, we feel, okay, if I just don't tell them the facts, or if I just don't tell them what's actually happening, then I can protect them from feeling worried or fearful. But actually, it's often the opposite. So we want to be giving them the facts about what's happening, explain what's going on, give them clear information about how to reduce their risk of being infected. And we want to use words and language that they can easily understand, right? So you want to be demonstrating to children how they can keep themselves safe. You want to be using just reassurance and calming words, calming language, but you want to be giving them the information that they need. So how do you do hand washing? Why are we doing physical distancing? So the more that they know, the more their minds will not be wandering to fear or worry. We want to be giving them the information that they need. And it's important to know that children respond to stress in different ways, right? So some children might feel really sad, or some might feel scared, some might be worried. They can also even show physical signs, like they could be wetting their bed more often, or they might want to be closer to their caregivers than usual. So we want to give them the safe space to really be able to share how they're feeling, give them the information, and spend time with them, and that will help them also feel more supported and feel safer. It's also important to help them stick to a routine. So if they're, what's their daily activities? What time do they wake up? What do they do in the morning? What time do they eat? We want to give them a special routine that they can have, so that also helps them feel safer and more supportive through this.
Yes, and how do you think communities, Sophia, include persons with disabilities, can really respond to their psychological needs, especially during this time of COVID-19?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because we don't want to overlook, you know, our community, including people with disabilities. So persons with disabilities are actually at higher risk in the COVID-19 pandemic. This is for a couple of reasons. One is that information might not reach them, right? They might not be receiving the information in the same way that other people do. So we want to make sure that information is reaching them appropriately. People with chronic conditions may be unaware of how to access services and support as well. So one of the first things to do is just always be sharing information on COVID-19 and ensure equal access to healthcare and supportive services, right? The other reason that they might be at a higher risk is that they're often in close contact with their personal assistants or their caregivers, meaning they're usually with somebody else. And so this also increases the risk of infection, and complications could also be there because they might have underlying health conditions. And so they might be having also poor access to healthcare. So we need to really ensure that we're noticing who in our community might need that extra access or might be needing that extra support, and ensuring that they really do receive it during this time.
And now, talking about children, young people, and people with disabilities, let's not also forget elders, Sophia. In your view now, how do you think communities can support them to respond to their psychological needs as well?
So with elderly people are often overlooked in times of crisis. You know, that can often happen. And then they also, similarly, they don't receive the information that they need to protect themselves. And so it's really important, and this is also particular in rural areas. So it might be that information doesn't even reach them. So that's the other thing, is noticing, again, in your community, noticing who might not be receiving the information that they need to receive right now, and we want to make sure that they get it. And then when you are communicating to someone, you want to be using very simple facts, giving really clear information. How do you reduce risk of infection? And, you know, adults right now, it's not just children, it's not just persons with disabilities, it's not just, it's all of us, elderly included, we might be feeling anxious, angry, stressed, even agitated. And elderly might even be feeling more overly suspicious during this outbreak. So you want to be providing very practical information and also giving emotional support. This is through networks, through family networks, through community networks, connecting with health professionals. Find ways also to spend time with elderly at home, listen to stories, tell stories, follow daily activities, encourage them to continue a routine as well. So these are all ways that we can not just take care of elderly, but this is something that helps all of us, right? The time right now is we want to be really practicing understanding and care towards all of our neighbors, towards our family, towards our larger community, and we want to also be staying hopeful and encouraging during these times.
All right. Anything else you would like to add, Sophia?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things to think about right now is really engaging with your community leaders, religious leaders, trusted people in your community, and encourage them to be looking out for who needs extra support. And encourage them to be, you know, really discouraging of stigma at this time as well, and to support people to make a plan about how they're going to get the help that they need. And this could be mental health support, well-being support, physical health support. It's all about just coming together right now, staying hopeful, being encouraging, and we're all in this together. We have to face it together.
And that was Sophia Cassas, is the Technical Advisor for Humanity Inclusion, a non-governmental organization, saying that it is very important to engage with community leaders, religious leaders, and trusted persons in sharing the same messages and in discouraging stigmatization. This is during the time of the COVID-19, and this is part of our mental health topic that we are discussing in the second hour of the Dawn here today. ودي كانت هناك السيدة سكوفيا كاساس وهي طبعا المستشارة التقني وهذا طبعا لمنظمة الاسم Humanity Inclusion واحد من منظمات الغير حكومية وهي بتتكلم عن دور بتاعة المجتمع إنه الناس يجوا سوا مع بعض خاصة في زمن بتاعة كورونا فيروس أو الفيروس التاجي ومن خلال نصيحة بتاعه هناك بتتكلم عن كيف إنه المجتمعات يجوا سوا مع بعض يدعموا بعض في الوقت الحالي عشان يتأكدوا إنه السلامة بتاعت ناس يكون فيه وكمان برضو ما ينسوا الناس التانين اللي بيحتاجوا للمساعدة في المجتمع. You're still listening to the Dawn program here on iRadio with me, Emmanuel Joseph Akile. Let's go for this short break, and after that we are also going to continue talking about the same issue of mental health, but this time round we are going to hear from Dr. Atonga Yellongar from the National Ministry of Health. Good morning.
Batama midke wanda Yena kina keje panye rachape Wijabuguru ni dina yena Chika kwa ina uka Amerika Kududu kachule chayena kwa mkichi ida Afrika Wijabugu china waka
Coronavirus de ayan alshen Biha will beteri gagbesit Lakin kazuli data kibe sabun Oh hand sanitizer Ukatika smataki Ukata na fataki Kwa mata geni fima naswago ketir Zema hal disco Zema hal iris Isala bika kaman Keleta geni Pipe
Akoro cheranya manaru nyedeke Arika mutunga nyedeke Kulota zinga kan ngikaduko Ngide chichik Taito Taumandara taumandana Chega doko roko shingo Taumandara nana tawigwenye
Coronavirus, a young witcher, Meganadial Magata Tiani, Gora Banadan Ganga Jogama,
Namaterikon Kapiuka Sabun, Palanurishioni, Palanukaman,
Bayanual Target to Garoda,
Kabajuka Lil Frank Kabalka Warar,
Palamale Matumdi, Palamale Matumdi.
Corona, Corona, Dayan Batal, Uobikatulu. Corona, Corona, Dayan Batal, Uobikatulu.
Boy, phenomena, look at you, no more twero chuneba, 20 right, look at you, no more wango iaba, 20 right, 20 pekoyo, 20 gua, 20 pekoyo, 20 right, 20 right, begango, 20 right. Haya, yeah.
Anangi wet balwe, can't keep quiet 'cause you chop up. Yake kocho mouth, sambala kocho kocheke. Yake wetin love sabun, yake ringi wet kwatni. Kanje bende kani ratari, kanje chal corona, kanje pinam riyam. Akuchin ya inga, akuchin ya randit, kaya mente kanje pinam. Ellen Alec in Kabukulang.
I need Boku Senanga Gazio Bay. I need Duna Zaka Bangrise. Begu Girokazanga Corona. Come the Jingo Pokuroya. Come the Jingo Quaroya. Anizundu Aberani. Tale Botu.
The virus is real. And it kills. It has gone for viral.
Corona, lo along elaga, lo 20 laga corona, la la jikele sikulo, kusabun pero kiloli, akoleta romana kakukendi, au kidogo.
Hafisi mefta tataki wa hafisi naskulu, geni fibet, matalifu sambala ye, ye. Ruwa fimi stage fa, kan fines la wele wajara. Eh, kati ida taki, eh, kati anafa taki.
No, wash your hand, wash your hand, wash your hand. Use an alcohol-based sanitizer, wash again. Never touch your eye, nose, and mouth, never again. Until you done, no, you done, wash your hand. Believe me, I don't wanna lose you. Neither you, don't you ever wanna lose me. Don't come close, keep yourself away when talking to anyone. And get yourself a mask when you're in a million, I'm done.
Arubanga, ruwata disa ngopidito wendi olirudito. Ikwe nyinyi duwa nyiki susano tsaguru a. Tanameri corona, arasi mutuka a. Esuru vwala za a, ongo masika za a. Desi zonya goro kanyi nyanya diganyi za a. Naikwata zikumozi, naikwa corona ea. Kimeza sina amaria mabali kie pesi. Nize disa puni sikuwa vudi andeko a. Nyabetika mundara.
Corona, Corona, Dayan Batal, Uobikatulu. Corona, Corona, Dayan Batal.
Mary, Mary, have you heard about the new disease that is spreading very fast and has affected many people around the world?
Are you talking about the coronavirus disease, also known as COVID-19?
Yes. Do you know that fever, cough, tiredness, sore throat, and difficulty in breathing are some of the signs and symptoms of coronavirus disease?
Yes. I also know that coronavirus disease can spread from person to person through droplets from the cough and sneeze of someone who has the virus.
Uh-huh. So you know about the disease?
Yes, it's all over the news. We must be very careful.
But Mary, for many years, I have seen children and adults with sore throat and cough due to common cold. How do I differentiate these common cold cases from coronavirus disease?
Very good question, Peter. Common cold and coronavirus disease have similar symptoms of cough and sore throat, But coronavirus patients will, in addition, have fever and are more likely to report having traveled to a country affected by coronavirus 2 weeks before the illness started or having been in contact with someone with coronavirus disease. So anyone who develops fever with cough, sore throat, or difficulty in breathing should promptly call 6666.
How can we protect ourselves and our families from coronavirus disease?
We should always wash our hands with soap and clean water. Avoid shaking hands with anyone. Cover our mouths with tissue or flexed elbow when coughing or sneezing. And avoid touching your nose, eyes, and mouth. We should also stay at least 1 meter away from others and avoid group meetings or gatherings.
What should I do if I get sick?
You will need to isolate yourself by staying at home to avoid making others sick. If you move around, you are likely to make others sick too.
Coronavirus can spread if a person exposed to droplets from the nose or mouth of a person affected by the disease. When coughing or sneezing, these droplets can also land on objects and surfaces around a sick person, which can easily infect other people who touch these objects or surfaces. Stay safe. Wash your hands with soap and clean water at all times. For more information, call Minister of Health, toll-free number 6666. This message is brought to you by the Minister of Health with support from UNICEF and the World Health Organization.
iRadio, giving you information and news on South Sudan and beyond the borders. Stay tuned to iRadio, your eye on South Sudan.
You tuned in and locked on to the Eye of South Sudan, and it's a brand new dawn.
Well, a very good morning to you once again, and welcome back from that break. You're still listening to the Dawn program here on iRadio, your eye on South Sudan. We are still talking about the issue of mental health, especially during the time of the novel coronavirus. A while ago, we heard from Heidi from the IOM. Spoke to us about this issue of mental health during the time of COVID-19. She explained to us about mental health and why is it important in the society in general, and especially during the time of COVID-19. After that, we also heard from Sophia Casas, who is the technical advisor for the Humanity Inclusion and Non-Governmental Organization, emphasizing on the public health measures that need to be applied at all times, physical distancing, hand washing practices, use of appropriate personal protective equipment or PPE as needed. But then in the school or language of mental health, if people feel stressed, they should firstly reach to the immediate support system, namely family, friends, colleagues, other community members, or even religious leaders. If this support is not sufficient, people can reach out to existing services, that is, mental health care workers, like counselors can be found in health centers or teaching hospitals, or even in national or international organizations. These services are confidential, which means healthcare workers are not supposed to share any information about you with another person. This is what Dr. Atong Ayel Longar, the Director for Mental Health at the National Ministry of Health, is going to explain to us more about. I also asked her the importance of support for persons affected by COVID-19 and also their families, and how can we take care of persons with pre-existing mental health conditions, among others. This is what Dr. Atong Ayel had to say.
I think the mental health service in South Sudan, we have mental health services in Juba Teaching Hospital and in Wau Teaching Hospital, and in the small PHCs, including Kator, Alakia, and Haikuit, where if someone needed a mental health services or a psychosocial support, they can approach those centers to get the service. We are trying to put in place a phone psychosocial service, which we are still working on it, that we will communicate the number like the 46 for the COVID-19 cases. And we hope when it is in place, everybody will know and they will call and talk. This is regarding for COVID-19 pandemic.
And so, Dr. Atong, how can we really support persons affected by this COVID-19, the novel coronavirus, and also their families?
We need to talk to them, and we ask them, advise them always to reach out for people to talk to, particularly families, friends, and someone in the community. If they are the so-called contact or the one that has to be quarantined at home. But if they are isolated, we will encourage them to communicate through phone, social media, so that they stay connected. And we are training the healthcare workers on the basic psychosocial support, which we are currently now doing. So there will be a package delivered to the patient and the caregivers in the COVID-19 quarantine service center in the Dr. John Garang International Infectious Disease Unit. We hope that the phone counseling will be in place so that we can join hand and help those who are having COVID-19.
I believe there are persons or people with pre-existing mental health conditions here in the country. So during this time of COVID-19, how can we really take care of them?
So a pre-existing mental health disorder predisposed people to, you know, during the pandemics and crisis, we expect a further breakdown. So we advise, because in South Sudan we almost rely on families to take care of those people with mental illness, because we do adapt the co-patient servicing. So one of the things that we put in place, that we make sure that families are taking their medication regularly, and we are having a free medication in the hospital to lift the burden of buying medication from families. And those who are already pre-existingly mentally ill had been followed up regularly in Jibo Teaching Hospital and in the centers where medications are there available and they are for free. We are encouraging families, whoever has a child or an acquaintance who had a mental illness, when they start not behaving themselves, we would love that if few people can rush to the nearby center to get the service, because we don't want to end up having them in total collapse.
So, Dr. Atong, in this situation, what can really be done to support health workers and also other frontline health workers this time round?
Number one, during COVID-19, health workers may experience so much stress, because in a setting like South Sudan, where we all know that the health workers, it's not only in South Sudan, but all over the world, that you stand helpless, knowing that there is nothing you can do for your patient. And when they lose patients, and when someone is severely ill that you can't help, although we are the frontliners, so they feel, they work under pressure and they feel stressed. Although we are training and we're working on that to make things easier on them, but we would love if the general public could appreciate, respect, and comply with the rules they are putting in place. Because when we ask for the physical distances and when we ask for the regular washing, hand washing, we're actually helping the health workers by reducing the disease incidence, the infection. So there will not be more patients rushing to the hospital to overwhelm the pre-existing weak health system that we are having. So we will encourage people to stick to the regulations that we put in place so that we can manage that, we can make sure that we can control the infection. If there is no need of you leaving the house, even if the measures had lifted, please stay home and make sure that if people has to go out, one person has to go out and do the thing, and when they came back, make sure that he wash hands, he change the clothes, so that you can protect the household. Keep kids inside, indoors, keep elders indoors, because they will be the ones suffering and will be hurt when they get COVID-19. And whenever you are going out, use mask, apply the physical distance regulation. This is actually the terminology you are now using. It's a social and physical distance. You physically stay away from someone, but you can communicate and you can talk to them.
In a situation where there is a suspected case of COVID-19, how can that person be handled without creating stigma and discrimination in the society or in the community?
Number one, people have to stay calm, because panicking will make things worse. And we don't need to announce for everybody that so-and-so is suspected to be COVID-19, because the rumors and the misinformation that people have make things worse and increases the stigma. And we don't link the people to the disease. Like, we are advising that we say people infected with coronavirus, not coronavirus cases. By so doing, we are trying to teach the society that coronavirus is an illness like malaria and any other thing. yet there's no treatment and there's no vaccine, but it's an illness. I had nothing to do. I did nothing wrong if I got coronavirus. It's like I slept without a mosquito net and I got malaria.
So, Dr. Atong, tell us more about the importance of protecting suspected cases, patients, and even contacts of the COVID-19 cases.
You know, people talk about that coronaviruses, when you compare the deaths of coronaviruses by the deaths from malaria and, you know, like maternal diseases, people think that coronavirus kills less. The reason why people are so, you know, concerned about coronavirus, because coronavirus has the tendency of the mass killing. So when it starts, that even exceeds the combined deaths together. That's why people are now panicking and talking about coronavirus. And protect yourself and your family add too much to the control of the disease. So it's our responsibility as a community and as everybody to help in controlling and protecting yourself and protecting others. The only way that we can get out of this is by acting as we, not as me.
When we talk about the stigma and discrimination, in your view, how can they lead to non-disclosure and even further spread of the virus?
This is the problem we are fighting with mental health generally, now COVID-19. Because when there is a stigma associated with the illness, people get into that hiding behavior thing. So they will not disclose that they are infected. And they will keep it to the last level when they are like critically ill and they need to be taken care of. By so doing, they will be infected. If I can report in day one, I might have a contact of two or three, or only the household plus one or two. But if I reported after 14 days, and in these 14 days I was doing my regular life pattern, I would have infected more. And this is where the community infection came from, because the patient will feel stigmatized if now, like in your household or your premises, known that an ex-person had been having suspected to be corona case or infected with coronavirus, then the whole family will be stigmatized and people at the neighborhood will be looking at them at least as if they had committed a crime.
Now, with all these issues of stigma and discrimination you have been explaining, what do you think is stakeholders, the state and non-state actors should do now to protect coronavirus patients from, again, stigma and discrimination in the community?
Number one, we are now trying to advise and work on the so-called group therapy, where we link some COVID-19 infected cases or recovered cases that they can talk about their experiences in what we call testimonies. So they came out, they talk about it, and they tell others that you can go through it and you will be okay, so that good stories, you know, successful stories and testimonies could contribute to reduction of stigma. And we do appreciate that some of our colleagues will get infected, they disclose their infection. So we will encourage, you know, testimonies, people came out and do group therapies, people talk about it. We need the religious leaders, community leaders, spiritual leaders to talk about it and address the topic, so that we can improve the community information and awareness about coronavirus or COVID-19, and by so doing we can contribute to reducing stigma.
In your view, how do you think persons who, for instance, recover from COVID-19 can be reintegrated into their families and community in South Sudan?
Good thing in South Sudan that we rarely had families that abandoned their relatives, even if they got any kind of an illness. So by, again, talking, raising awareness, such a recovered patient can be a good story to that neighborhood to send the message of what he had been going through and how did he handle it and how he's now better. And most of the cases are now treated in home, and the stigma's there, but we hope things will improve, inshallah.
Well, we hope things will improve, God willing, that is inshallah. That's the message from Dr. Atong Ayel Longar, the Director for Mental Health at the National Ministry of Health, is speaking to me about the support for persons affected by COVID-19 and also their families, and how can people take care of persons with pre-existing mental health conditions. Among others, you also talked about stigma and discrimination. Well, with that, we have come to the end of today's edition of The Dawn. Do join us again on Monday to get the latest on what's happening in South Sudan and beyond the borders. On behalf of The Dawn team, my name is Emmanuel Joseph Akile. Thank you for being part of this show. Do have a good day, and let's meet again on Monday. And please stay safe. Have a good weekend. Bye for now.
Sudan.
Call your brothers, sisters, friends, spouse, just call everyone to join the wonderful world of Zain Easy. For every new subscriber to Zain, 25 SSP of Zain to Zain calls worth of airtime will be offered every month for a period of 10 months. Buy a Zain SIM card today and enjoy this wonderful